Chodesh Tov and Mubarak, Mazal Tov to Akiva, and we're holding today Masechet Kiddushin on this day of Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Dalet, Ha'emer Li'ishar Re'at Mekudeshet Li. So on the Mishnah, in the middle of the page. Ha'emer Li'ishar Re'at Mekudeshet Li, Amanat She'adaber Alayach L'Shilton, or Amanat She'eseimach Kepo'el. So suppose somebody makes a condition that he says to a woman, I am going to be Mekadesh you on condition that I speak to some government official for you and I use my protectia, or on condition that I work for you for the day. If he does so, Dibera Lela Shilton, or if he actually worked for her for the day, then she's Mekadeshes. But if not, she's not Mekadeshes. Says Reish Lakish, the whole point of the Mishnah is to tell me that it's only on condition, but it's not for the value of the work. So that when the Mishnah talks about a condition, it by definition means that there was a condition. Where was the condition? The condition was money that he gave her. He gives her a ring. He says, Hare HaMekodesh Adli with this ring, on condition that I am going to do work for you for the day, or on condition that I'm going to speak to the tax authorities on your behalf, or so on, right? And that's the whole point, says Reish Lakish, that the only reason that this is a good condition is because it was only a condition. And he gave her money for the condition besides this. But if he had said, I'm going to be Mekadesh you with the value of that work, then it's not going to be good. Om Reish Lakish, v'hu shenatan la shava pruta. What? Says the Gemara. And if he said, for the value of the work, it wouldn't have been a good condition. Vatanya, b'schar shehir kavti chalach hamor, shol shafti pekarono b'svina, enem mekudeshes. Doesn't it say in a braita that if a taxi cab driver says that, hareya mekudeshetli, with the value of this taxi ride, or with the value of this boat ride, or whatever, that then she's not Mekudeshet because he already did it, and therefore the money that she owed him for that work is only a milva. And as we saw before, Mekadesh b'milva and a Mekudeshet. But if he said, I'm going to give you a taxi ride, and for the benefit of that taxi ride, you should be Mekudeshet to me, which means that it's b'schar, that it would be perfectly okay. Isn't that what it's mashma? Then she would be Mekudeshes. Now, I understand that you're going to say, well, I mean, Reish Lakish could always tell you it's the same as the Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah's talking about where he had given her cash. So here, too, it's talking about where he had given her cash or given her a ring. And Yoiv La Shava Pruta. But it says Beferish over here that it is Bishar. It's for the value of the taxi cab ride. So you can't learn over here that the Kedushin is being made by a separate ring that he gives you. So that's no good. Furthermore, we have a clear-cut indication in another braita, the same idea. A woman is called to appear, you know, on the stage, and she doesn't have any man to come with her because she's not married. So she says to a guy, listen, you sit next to me and pretend to be my husband, and then with the scar that I would have to pay for a gigolo, I'll be Mekadesh to you. So, you know, just sit here. Shevi mi betzavta, v'kadesh lecha. Or I'm in a terrible mood, I need somebody to do a comedy show. Srok lefanai. Do a little dance, you know, rekod lefanai. Or build me this row, give me another row in my garden. Of a wall, Kedimos Hazeh. So then we estimate if the value of that work is a Shava Prutash, then she's Mekudeshet. If not, then it's not worth anything. So therefore, she can be Mekudeshet with it. Now, over here, you obviously can't say, well, maybe it's talking about that he made this a condition and that he gave her money besides. No, that's ridiculous. Bechite mevalchinami b'diyav la Shava Pruta, it says, Vashaminotum ka'omar. It says Beferish, we need to estimate the cost of a gigolo and then see whether that's worth a penny or not. If it's worth a shavar prutah, then she's Mekudeshet. If not, it ain't a Mekudeshet. If he gave her if he gave her money besides, why do we have to estimate the value? There's the money that he gave her. These two brises seem to clearly show that Rish Lakish's understanding of the Mishnah is wrong. Because Rish Lakish says, I mean, it seems to be exactly the same case, and Rish Lakish says the only way to understand the Mishnah is where he did not use the value of the service, but he just made the service as a condition. But he gave her money besides to Yoftar Rish Lakish. Amar Lecha Rish Lakish, this is another opinion. This Tana, we always call a Tana of a Braisa who disagrees with a Mishnah. We call him a Tana Bara. The Tana that's coming from out there, meaning he's not part of our Mishnah. So he holds, Eina L'schiras Ela L'besof. Now, this is another Gavi terminology, which I think is already there, but just to make sure, Eina L'schiras, or in parentheses, Yesh L'schiras, B'tchila V'atzof, these are the two possibilities. So if the Tana holds that you don't view a job as being due to be paid until the job is completed, that's called Eina L'schirut Ela L'besof. So then that would mean that there is the Shava Pruta, that the job was worth, that is given to the woman. When he completes it, he's giving her Shava Pruta. But if you hold, as our Mishnah does, the Gemara is going to ask in a minute, how does Rish Lakish know what the Mishnah holds? Fine, we'll see that. But if you hold, as our Mishnah does, that Yeshna L'schirut Mitchila V'atzof, so what does that mean? We had all of this discussion earlier. It means that with each Shava Pruta that a workman does, it's owed to him, and now it becomes a loan. Doesn't mean it's collectible at this minute. Maybe it's only collectible when you finish the work, but the point is that it is currently owed. And therefore, if at the end of the job he wants to utilize that money, he's utilizing a milva. Therefore, there's no way that you can ever say bischar, because there will never be one pruta of schar that is not already owed from before. And therefore, she would not be mikudashes, and I'm going like our Mishnah. But wait a minute, Rish Lakish. My duch, the Rish Lakish, lukan l'asisa b'yeshla schiras mitchil v'atzof. U'b'niyayivla. Why does Rish Lakish feel compelled? Oh my gosh, it's clear in the Mishnah. Our town holds yeshla schiras mitchil v'atzof. Who says? And therefore the Mishnah would have to be talking about that he gave her money besides. Who says? Well, what makes him think that? Oh, my Rava, well, if you read the Mishnah clearly, you pretty much have no choice. Because the Mishnah is very problematic if you don't learn that way. Masnisa Keshite. Why in the world would the Mishnah say al-menat? This is not part of the Mishnah about making conditions. Remember, this whole parak has been about making conditions, right? Okay, so what does this have to do with making conditions? This belongs with the earlier discussion that we had about what constitutes money. Fine. But what's it doing over here? And why would I say it's on condition? So it must be, that's the whole point. The only way that you could make a deal like this is only if it's a condition. That's the point of the Mishnah. But if you try to actually use the value of the work that you did for her as the kesef of Kedushin, it will not work because the payment has been due all along and is therefore a milva. And there are Mekadosh Bemilva and a Mekudesh. So actually, Rish Lakish is very Miduyak in the Mishnah. And now it's time for our missing Sir Richard, who is allowing the Rosh Chodesh to delay him. But the problem is, Doc is in the same situation. Oh my gosh, what is going on over here? We gave you an extra 10 minutes. How long does Halal Musaf take?
Either way, Rabbi can drink.
Can I, if I'm busy saying Zuck the Halak Mishnah? Alrighty. Trevor, you're going to have to learn Yiddish. All right, we'll leave you alone. We've got our best Yiddish speaker is Mikey. Zuck the Halak Mishnah. How about a condition like this? Guy says, you should be on my wife on condition that my dad wants that. Now, it's not quite clear what that means, my dad wants it. It means what? He jumps up and down for joy? He doesn't say anything? I don't know. Well, the Gemara will discuss. So then, Rotzahav, again, whatever that means, if the father wants, it's Mekudeshes, and if not, ain't a Mekudeshes. Now, here's where it gets complicated. What if the father died? So if the father died, she is Mekudeshes. But wait, if the father died, then how can we say he wanted it if he never even heard about it? Well, that seems to imply that the meaning of the words, my father wants it, is that he doesn't complain. Well, it's hard to complain from the grave, although I'm sure there's plenty of women that manage, but it's hard to complain from the grave, right? So in that case, how do we understand the Mishnah? If the father dies, so then he never agreed. So it must mean that the father just didn't protest, okay? That the Gemara is going to be medayik. But what about if the son dies? Then if the son dies, then we tell the father, listen, you got to go out there and say you protest. Wait a minute. So you see that the Mishnah is contradictory, right? Because, I mean, clearly saying that if the father died, that's okay. I mean, how is it okay? Only because if he's dead, he can't protest. But then that means that the meaning of my father wanting it is just he doesn't protest. He shuts up. But then when it says we teach him to protest, it means that he has to actually be not just not protesting, but that he could protest at any time. So what, 10 years later, now he's going to protest? So he has to actually confirm it if he wants it to be true. But that's not what you said a minute ago. I'm so confused. Okay, so this is what the Gemara is going to deal with. So when you say, Almanachi Yirtza Abba, what does that mean? Does it mean, Ilema Ado Omar Abba'in, that dad has to say, yes, I'm in favor of the marriage? So then look at the middle case. The middle case is if the father died, Harezu Mekudeshen, obviously meaning if the father died before being raised. I mean, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. So it means that the father died without saying anything. She is Mekudeshen. But I thought you said that the father had to agree. And he didn't. He didn't even hear about it. V'lo ha'amarin. So therefore, we'll have to change it to mean that the words Almanachi Yirtza Abba means that he doesn't protest, right? She yishtok Abba. He's quiet when he hears about it. But that doesn't make sense either. Because then it says, Meita ben melamdim et av lomar she'eino rotze. If the son dies, then we tell the father, listen, you gotta save this woman from Yibum, you know? So why don't you just say now that you don't want it and you protest? But I don't understand. It's too late now, isn't it? Am I? I mean, he already was quiet and that was enough to maybe confirm it, and therefore the condition was already chal, so he can't suddenly come along later and say, I protest. And it doesn't mean, obviously, to say that, well, maybe it's talking about that he didn't hear. And as we tell the father, listen, Dad, your son was Makadesh, this girl, before he died. Say you don't want it. Because then that's not called Malamdimus. Malamdimus is Mashma. At some later point will be Malamdimus. So as Rishonim speaks out. So how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah is contradictory. Ela, so must be that Ein Ochinami, the last part of the Mishnah, was that he said beferish, Almanat shelo yimche abba, on condition that my father doesn't protest. But at any time that he protests, so then it would mean that he could cancel it. So therefore, if the son dies, if the father protests, he can cancel it. L'chora. Okay, so then we have the first part of the Mishnah is talking about if the father roitze. What does that mean? If he's quiet, fine. If he dies, so then it says if he doesn't, maskim. So what does that mean? He says, no, I don't want it. If he dies, so then there we could say that if he dies, there's no way that he's ever going to be able to protest. So therefore, that would mean that he doesn't protest. Well, he doesn't protest and he can't protest. But the last case is, if he doesn't, is we tell the father that he does protest, so there too it's talking about, on condition that he's not Meicha. So any time that he would be Meicha, he could be Meicha. So then, okay, how do you, you're saying that the Mishnah is two separate things? That's really weird. So the last part of the Mishnah, it says that he says, Beferish, Almanat, not that she yirtzeh, but Almanat, that he doesn't protest. So any time that he will protest, I mean, apparently, because as we could tell the father, say you protest when the son dies. I don't know, when did that happen? 5 years later? So in other words, at any point that the father says, he protests. So if he died, I understand he's not going to protest. But if he's alive, then teach the father to say, well, I'm protesting. So does that make sense? The Reisha is referring to one situation. The Seif is referring to another situation. The Reisha is talking about the situation where he doesn't say anything. And that's what it means, Rotza Abba. And the Seif is talking about that he's saying, on condition that my father doesn't protest, but whenever he does protest, it would be, I mean, that's what you got to say. Isn't that weird? Om Rabbi Yonai.
What about the middle?
Oh, so the middle could be the same thing, right? The middle and the last part can be exactly the same. And the first two parts are different. I mean, if he dies, then he can never protest. Om Rabbi Yonai, in. Yes. What choice do we have? I mean, the Mishnah is obviously a contradiction, right? So we have to say that. Om Reish Lakish, you know, you see a very fascinating thing here. Because there would be another way to learn the Mishnah. You don't have to say that the Mishnah is talking about two different cases. You could say the Mishnah is talking about the same case, and it's going according to two different shitas. The Man D'Yomar of the two first cases is saying, what do we understand when a person says, Amanachi Yirtza Abba? It means, on condition that he's quiet, right? Whereas the Tesefa is another Man D'Yomar, and that Mandi Omar holds that, no, the meaning of the words Amanachi Yirtza Abba is that he never protests. But the moment that he protests, at that moment, it would be bottled. I guess, I mean, it must be that since we don't say that, it's better to learn that a Mishnah is talking about two different cases, even though it didn't say so, and left it up to you to understand that there were two cases, more than to say that it's the same case, but it's going to two different mandiyomri. So let's see that inside. Shmamina l'rabiyanai, dachkina, listen, we're ready to force, shoehorn, an explanation, which we have no choice. Mukmina matzisa betray taima, and we'll say that there's two different cases that we're discussing here, but at least it's going according to one tana. And that's better than mukmina betray taime, tanoi, it's better than to say that the tzabachok is tanoim and referring to the same case. All right. Is there any other way to learn the Mishnah? Says Rav Yosef Barami, of course, there's a very simple way to read the Mishnah, in which case it's neither changing the case, nor is it changing the Tana, and it still makes perfectly good case, it says. What would that be? The whole problem here, remember, is the fact that since there wasn't a time limit, and we're saying that you can tell the father to protest at any point, so then that would mean that if there's no time limit, the only time that we can be sure that the condition would be chal would be if the father died, right? And but here it says that if the father was rotza, then she's mukadashas. Well, there's no meaning to that word. What do you mean he's rotza? He can always protest, right? So there's a simple solution. Read in that the Mishnah did have a time limit. That's all, and then everything makes sense. So all you need to say is liolam chat taima. When it says Amanachi Yirtza Abba, it doesn't mean forever. It means Amanachi Eloyimche Abba Mikan Vatshloshim Yom. So the guy is saying, look, if we don't get any complaints for the next 30 days, then that's it. Then we're Mekudashes. But he's got 30 days to complain. Okay, so if he dies within the 30 days, he's not going to be able to complain. So that's the equivalent of the Tanai being Mekuyat. If the son dies and it's still within the 30 days, so then he can be taught, now is the time to complain, to save it, so that it never was a good condition because the condition wasn't fulfilled, and therefore we are able to pater this poor girl from Yibum. And then the first case also makes sense, because we're talking about once the 30 days passes, and he didn't say anything, so then she's a Mekudasha. So everything makes perfectly good sense. You don't have to dray around to try to figure out two Tanoim, two different cases. The Mishnah is taking for granted that you understand that you must put in a time limit into it, because otherwise the whole thing doesn't make sense at all. And now we are up to Sir Richard's second chance. He missed his first chance, but go for it, Sir Richard. Uh-huh. This is what happened when Doc isn't here.
Yeah, right. Oh, it
cannot be in a minor key because there's amazing things that are happening in front of our eyes. Bezrat Hashem.
Amazing things.
Mamish.
God willing.
Yeah. You see, my arguments were actually clearly taken up, by the way.
Because
otherwise the Americans wouldn't be in it. No, seriously, it's obvious that they understand that we understand that what our options are. So they have no choice. If they don't want to get involved in some kind of nuclear exchange, then they better be there. Yeah, you're right. Richie, where's the Talisker under the circumstances?
Are you kidding?
Okay. Kiddushti et biti. Our Mishnah begins with a case where the father said, I accepted Kiddushin from somebody. I just don't remember who it is. Uh-oh. This girl's in major trouble because, I mean, she can't marry anybody, right? And the father says she's already Mekudesha. So the halacha is, what if somebody comes along and says, tis I who gave you the Kiddushin? Ani Kiddushtia. So then we believe him that he's the one to say Mekudesha. Now we'll see how far do we believe him. I mean, he may just be an opportunist. We'll see. How about if two people come forward and each one says, tis I. So zel merani kiddushtia, v'zel merani kiddushtia. Both of them would have to give her a get in order for her to be muteret, to marry somebody else. But if they want to, one could give the get and the other one could marry her. So now let's take a look at what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says that he's believed. Omar Rab. When the one guy comes along and says, tis I, he is believed in terms of giving her a get to allow her to marry somebody else. But he is not believed to actually marry her himself because he may be an opportunist. So look, he's believed to give her a get because we have a klal. Gavi, time to write. The klal is, ein adam chote velolo. A person doesn't do a sin that he gets nothing out of. So by his saying that tis I, and all that he gets out of it is that he gives her a get. And what is that? That's mater ad eishes ish, to marry anybody that she wants. I'm going to do that to her as a favor? I'm going to be the one that lies to get her to be able to marry when she's an eishes ish? That's horrible. Why would I do that? To a person who doesn't get anything out of it, does not do a chet. But he's not believed to say tis I because to marry her, because over there, Ema Yitzro Tokfo, listen, he might really want to marry her. And maybe he's ready to sleep with another man's wife. You know, the guy will never show up. We don't know who he is. It's a great opportunity. If father accepted Kiddushin, okay, so I'll say tis I. So that we don't believe him for, because that he does have a reason to lie. Ravasi says not true. He's also believed to marry her. You know why? Because in this case, the man is too frightened to say, tis I. Because if we were going to be martyr him to marry her, when the father sees him and says, tis you, ha! No way, Jose. I never accept a condition from a jerk like you. What are you, crazy? So in that case, he's not going to step forward if it's possible that the father is going to say he's a liar and he's just trying to be an opportunist over here. So because of this, Ravasi says, if he's ready to stand the scrutiny of the father and he's not afraid that the father's going to expose him as being a pretender to the throne, so then Enochinami, he is believed. Afneman lichnos. Umoda Ravaz, but Ravaz says, now, hold on a minute. This is only where the father says, I accepted Kiddushin. But what if the woman says, I accepted Kiddushin and I can't remember who it is? Then, if somebody comes along and says, tis I, so then he is not believed to marry her. And the reason is very clear, because in this case, he is sure that she's not going to expose him as a liar. Because she also is thinking to herself, you know, if I don't accept this pretender to the throne as the real thing, I ain't going to be married my whole life. Because I was already Shavya Anavsha Chaticha Disura. Remember that, Gavi? Shavya Anavsha Chaticha Disura. She has created a situation where she is the equivalent of a Chaticha Disura. She's usher to everyone. So how could she possibly be married until she covers up for this guy? Yes, yes, it's him. Oh, thank Lord, my honey bunch. She never saw him before in her life, but at least she's got a husband now, and then she's not going to expose him. Therefore, I agree, says Rabasi. In that case, the guy's not taking any risks in presenting himself as the real husband. Okay, now, Rav said we don't believe any of these cases for the person to actually marry her. So how does Rav understand the Mishnah? The seifa of the Mishnah says, Tanan, that if there's two guys, then if one of them wants to give the get and the other one wants to marry her, that's okay. But according to Rav, we shouldn't let anybody marry her, because Rav says that this guy may actually be an opportunist, and he's only believed to give her a get. So now why all of a sudden is the Mishnah agreeing with Ravasi that he's believed to marry her? To Yuvta to Rav? Answers the Gemara, no, that's the whole point of the Mishnah, of having these two cases, says Rav. If two people are coming along, then, there's another guy that claims to be the real guy. So that means that the pretender is scared out of his wits. I mean, here's the real guy. The father's going to see me and is going to see him. You don't think he's going to remember which one it was? Or which one it certainly wasn't? There, I agree to Ravasi. The guy would have to be crazy to put himself in a situation like that. Go marry the daughter, and then father comes along and says, what? So there, everybody will know that he's a liar who's ready to sleep with another man's wife. And because of that, we can assume that the one who's ready to give the get, he's the phony. And the one who's ready to marry her, will the real husband please stand up? And in fact, there's a braita that seems to say exactly what Ravasi says. Tanika Vasa Ravasi, that even if it's a single person that comes along, he is believed because he wouldn't have risked it. If a father says, here's this case of the Mishnah, Kidashti et Piti, Ve'eni Yodei Lemi Kidashtia, somebody comes along, Uba Echad V'yamar Ni Kidashtia, Af Ne'eman Lichnos. Here it says in the Braita, we believe him not only to give her a get, we believe him even to take her as a wife. Now, what happens if he actually did take her a wife and suddenly another guy comes along and says, the pretender, he's a phony, I'm the one who gave her Kiddushin. It's too late. At that point, once Beis Din acts and was matir her to act on the basis of Rav Asi's limut, that we would assume that the guy wouldn't have risked this, then at that point, lokal imenu la'osra alav, he cannot come along ex post facto and now asr her once towards Kiddush. In the case, however, says the Braita, that the woman said herself nitkadashed, and any odat l'minit kadashi, I can't remember who it was. And then a guy comes along and says, "Tis I." In that case, eino neman lichnos, because over there I agree that of course he mechapalav. She's going to cover him, and she's going to pretend that yes, yes, he's the guy, because she knows if somebody doesn't step up, she's not going to be able to marry anybody. So therefore, she will go along with him. Therefore, we can't drug. He's not taking any risk. Iboilo. So let me ask you something. We said that the father is Naaman to aser her. Well, that's a pasuk, right? Et biti natati le'ish hazeh. Et biti natati le'ish hazeh, which we have from the entire parsha of Motzi Shemra. So that tells us that a father is believed to say, I accepted kedushin from someone from my daughter. So would we actually believe the father to the extent that she is 100% married, and if somebody goes ahead and has relations with her, when he said who the person was, would we give the guy skila? We don't have any 8-day kedushin. Say the supposed 8-day kedushin are gone. We believe the father because it says it's bidinatati. To what extent are we even going to give the guy skila because he slept with a woman that is supposedly married on the basis not of witnesses, but on the basis of the nemunas of the father? Rav Amar, no, ain't so clean. Rav Asi Amar, yes. Sokolin? Rav Omar, ain't Sokolin. Listen, where did the Torah says that we believe the father at Piti Natati L'Ishazeh? That is in terms of Isura. That nobody else is allowed to marry her, but certainly, where does it say in the Torah that he's considered to be the equivalent of two Aiden in terms of Misa? L'Ktala Lohemne? Rav Asi Omar, the Torah says that this is enough to define her as an Eshes Ish. Once the Torah defines her as an Eshes Ish, so then it's an ancillary effect that if somebody else comes along and sleeps with her, then he's going to be Chayev. There's no way to split an Eshes Ish between issues of Isser and the issues of Chayev. Therefore, it's by definition. Once she is married, she's married. Omrevasi, however, this is only where the father says so. But I want to make it very clear, if she says so, Modina, I'm absolutely motive. She's the one who says that Nitkadashti, 100% we would not believe her to say that if somebody else sleeps with her, that then she is Mechayev Misa, and that she herself would be Chayev Misa. That we're not going to say. Now, I know for you Amearets out there, you know, that don't understand how Torah works, you're going to say, this is crazy. That is Merav Sanigre. Ani Shmaitza Didi, Merav Sanigre. These, the way what Rav Asi just said things, that's like a bomb right on the roof. It shatters the building, you know? Speaking of the times. I mean, does that make sense, what he says? Hashta Umaba Mokam Shim Balachnos Konez. I didn't understand you, Rav Asi. You said that in a case where the father says, I was Ma'aretz, sir, that then if a guy comes along, then he is believed to say, I'm the guy, and he can marry her, right? And over there, what did I say? That based on the father saying, I was Makadosh, my daughter, I said, you give the guy skila. So in a case where if somebody wants to take her as a wife, he can't, and we're even more machmir. So you're going to look at me and say, well, so obviously we would give skila. And you say, no, if she's the one, we don't give skila. And you think that that's a reasonable argument. That's because you have no idea how to learn, okay? The truth is, it's exactly the opposite. Velohi. The Torah gave a pasuk of et biti natati le'ish hazeh. That's a chiddush in the Torah that we believe a father. But it's only about a father. La'av hemne rachmana ledida lo hemne. The Torah believed the father, and did not believe her. So what is the Isser on her? Shavya nafshe chaticha di Isura. That concept of Shavya nafshe chaticha di Isura is basically, according to many, it's like a din of a neder. In other words, it's possible for a person to create Isurim on himself, but it's not possible to create a chiyuv of skila based on those Isurim on himself. And for her, Lidida Lohimna, where did the Torah believe her to actually create marriage? She doesn't have any nemunas for that whatsoever. It's true that a person could create Isurim on themselves. That's true. But only if the father said it, Biti Natati, then it's Shayach for Skila, which means that you could put that building back together again and everything is fine. It's not Merav Sanigra unless you're Nama Oret. Rav Chista Omar, so this is Rav Asi. Rav Chista says, we never, Echad Zev, Echad Zev, whether we're talking about the father being Mekabel the Kedushin for someone, or I was Mekabel at my own Kedushin, there's no Skila. And this is Rav Chista Lataime, because Rav Chista says, look, suppose a father comes along and he says, see my son over here, he is over 9 years old. Or see my daughter over here, my daughter is over 3 years old. So then he is Ne'eman, but he's only Ne'eman that if they sleep with someone who's an Erva, so they are considered to be capable of intercourse over male over 9, female over 3, but only to be Mechayev a Korban, but not for Makas, not for Onashim, the adult partner to the relationship. He's not going to be punished just because the father says so. He's not believed binogea anything other than what an Eid Echad is Neman for. An Eid Echad is Neman b'Yisurim. Fine, but not Neman to give Malkas, not Neman to give Misa, obviously. Okay, so then it's exactly the same Nakuda. Tainas Rav Chisda. And in fact, Tani Kavosid Rav Chisda, the Braita says Beferish. Let's say a guy says, this son, he's over bar mitzvah. This daughter is over bar mitzvah. She's Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad, Yud Beit Shana V'Yom Echad. So in those cases, he's believed, but he's only believed as far as the child's making a neder or making a cherem. So let's say the child gives something to Hegdish, where the child makes a neder of some kind. So the din is, even if he weren't 12 and she weren't 12 and he weren't 13, it would still, if he knows, this is onas dorim, if he understands the neder, it would be a neder anyway. But here it's talking about that the child says, I don't know, what is a neder exactly? You know. So over there, we believe the father insofar as he's chayev to actually treat it as hegdash, and you'll have to be paid it. But he's not neman, the father's not neman to say, well, since he's already 13, according to the father, so then therefore, if he does an avera, we can give the child chiyav malchus and so on. Absolutely not. He's not believed. Avalola makot, velola onashi. So we cannot give him any type of punishment whatsoever. Okay, gentlemen, so what we've done today is we've taken a look once again at the difference between a t'nai, which is the only reason we brought it here, and a situation where it's bischar. And those two things actually put together the two issues that we've recently been discussing, what is considered to be value for Kedushin, and what is considered to be a proper t'nai, and how to make the t'nai. And here we have one Mishnah that puts the two together, as Reish Lakish has pointed out, by talking about a t'nai that is specifically not value, which involves us in the issue of Yeshna L'Schiros V'Tchila V'Atzof, which we had actually looked at in some detail earlier. And this brings us to the end of the first day of Rosh Chodesh, our daf. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocher to meet tomorrow in even happier circumstances to see a Geula Shleima around the corner. And Bezrat Hashem, with Bitochon Shalem.